you got
cooking?
How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. This edition of the Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Boyd's One Stop, located at the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's your host, the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
I don't know about you, but I'm having more fun than the fire marshal should allow. If you know what I mean, a little throwback to my days in country radio. As a self-avowed, dedicated, lifelong novice, when it comes to this obsession we lovingly refer to as outdoor cooking, I'll be honest, I never dreamed it would be this much fun to host a radio show about setting things on fire. So in that way, we're all borderline arsonists, aren't we? Uh-oh, here comes the fire marshal. Okay, earlier this week, I decided the outdoor cooking show was going to go back to basics. Burgers. It's about as basic as you can get. Now, we're going to talk about some other things, too. But I wanted the focus of today's program to be on one of my favorite things to grill and eat, good old-fashioned all-American hamburgers. I get the whole baseball hot dogs, apple pie, and whatever. But to me, there's nothing more American than the hamburger. And if you travel abroad at all, you'll quickly get a sense for the fact that the rest of the world thinks the same way. Nothing says, I'm an American, more than our obsession with hamburgers. And don't be bringing that veggie burger, tofu burger stuff around here. Ain't nobody got time for that. It's either beef or bust here on the Outdoor Cooking Show, so I'm saying that right up front. You know, I even saw one nutritionist, a very dedicated nutritionist, who was anxious to debunk the notion that hamburgers are unhealthy, that they're not good for us. This nutritionist's contention was that if the beef is lean enough, and if you include the right complements to the burger, like lettuce, tomato, pickles, other vegetables, that it's actually like eating a beef entree with a salad and a roll. Now, I recognize that not all nutritionists are going to agree with that, but he's saying what I want to hear, so I'm going to agree with the guy. Yeah, it's political season. Can't get politics off the television. But what's healthy for us to eat and what's not healthy for us to eat is a great deal like politics when you stop and think about it. Whoever we agree with is the one who's telling the truth in our minds. So in this case, hamburgers are healthy food. At least that's his story, and I'm sticking to it. And I say all of that because I do dearly love hamburgers. When I was a kid, I was what my mom used to call a picky eater, and that was putting it diplomatically. I insisted, for instance, that my hamburger be nothing but meat, mustard, and bread. That actually became something of a mantra in my family, meat, mustard, and bread. My parents always thought I was crazy, and time has proven them right in more ways than just how I liked my hamburger. But that's another story for another much longer show. I was drafted into the United States Army right out of college. I went to TCU in Fort Worth. And while I was stationed in Korea, we were not allowed to eat locally grown raw vegetables. It was a health issue, a sanitary issue. They didn't have the same sanitary standards in Korea that we had in the United States. So we were not allowed to eat locally grown raw vegetables. And I must admit, I developed a craving for lettuce and tomatoes. So my mom and dad were absolutely shocked when I got back home from the Army and ordered my first hamburger with everything cut the onions. I guess you don't know what you really like until you can't have it anymore. These days, I like my hamburger with all of the above, no onions, but with cheese and bacon and jalapenos and lots of things. Now, historically, there's a lot of disagreement over the origin of the hamburger. Clearly, it's named after a steak sandwich that was first served in Hamburg, Germany, as early as 1884, according to some sources. Hence the name Hamburg, hamburger. But it gained U.S. national recognition first at the 1904 St. Louis Fair, the World's Fair in St. Louis. The German version of the hamburger was actually a Hamburg steak. So the ground patty version is distinctly American. But the problem with the hamburger is there's really not much of a written history on the hamburger, and that makes it very difficult to trace the authentic origin. But safe to say that the hamburger is internationally recognized as being distinctly American. And we're proud of it, aren't we? I know I am. When I was a kid, my dad, like everyone else on the block, grilled burgers in the backyard. But if we wanted what we call today fast food hamburgers, my family went to a well-known root beer stand in Fort Worth. I think you know the name brand without me saying it, the root beer stands that were famous back in the 50s. It was on Berry Street, south side, my hometown of Fort Worth. And we loved those burgers. And then, without naming specific franchises, national fast food burger places began popping up in, as best I can tell, the 50s and the 60s. And, of course, today there are more burger franchises than we can possibly count. This is, after all, only a one-hour show. But I can clearly recall when one such franchise began to tout their burgers as being better because they were flame-broiled. Remember that? I bought in to that sales pitch, and a double meat cheeseburger and fries from that particular franchise, whose spokesperson wore a crown on his head, that became my go-to lunch on a regular basis, a far too regular basis, I might add. I admit, I was a bachelor at the time. I was right out of the Army. I literally ate one of those burgers for lunch nearly every day. Of course, I was also 23 years old, and I could eat anything I wanted and as much of it as I wanted, and I never gained a pound. But I certainly couldn't get away with that kind of diet now. A few of us could, I'm sure. But that'll give you just a basic idea of how much I truly love hamburgers. In that way, I feel like I'm a great deal like Wimpy in the old Popeye cartoons. Remember, I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. I can afford to buy my own hamburgers these days, but I'm afraid my waistline can't afford the calories it could 40 years ago. However, my family will be quick to tell you they prefer my homemade flame-broiled pop burgers, as we call them, to anything they can buy in a fast food restaurant. It's also worth noting that they haven't said that about high-end restaurants' hamburgers, but that's perfectly understandable. Some eateries have truly outstanding burgers that go well beyond my abilities, especially as a backyard-dedicated lifelong grilling novice. So let's talk hamburgers today. If you're like me and you have always just added salt, pepper, Worcestershire sauce and throw them on the grill, then today you are in for an education. And I promise that I'll even feature one of my push the envelope, expand my skill set, out of my comfort zone recipes when I talk to my old radio buddy Fred Olson in the last segment. So there's something to look forward to. Make sure you don't miss it if you can.
If your barbecue has gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Huh, like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com. Does the cell phone connectivity in your office stink? Do you routinely miss calls? Lots of buildings have dead zones, and that means garbled or dropped calls, but not anymore. Texas Cell Phone Boosters provides FCC-approved cell phone booster systems that can make dead zones a thing of the past. These are not rinky-dink systems from big-box stores. These are commercial-grade booster systems that cover tens of thousands of square feet. And Texas Cell Phone Boosters will specifically engineer and install a system in your office or warehouse. If you drive or regularly work in remote locations, Texas Cell Phone Boosters can help you boost a weak signal from a tower a long way off. So don't miss calls from potential customers any longer. Call the pros at Texas Cell Phone Boosters, 832-551-1000. That's 832-551-1000. Or go to texascellphoneboosters.com. Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. The Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Froberg's Farm and Creek Smokehouse on Highway 6 in Alvin. Now, here's the Grill Father, Randy Hames.
Our guest for this segment of the show is Ron Brandani, the executive chef and the owner and operator of a restaurant that bears his name, Brandani's Restaurant and Wine Bar. Hi, Ron. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Brandani's Restaurant and Wine Bar is located at 3340 FM 1092. That's Murphy Road in Missouri City. Everybody in Missouri City knows where Murphy Road is. It's also in what we call the township. So you and your lovely wife, Claire, were nice enough to host my wife and me at your eatery a couple of weeks ago. And we absolutely loved the place. But before we talk about that, tell us how you got started in this wonderful obsession we call cooking.
Well, I think cooking with me started when I was a young boy. My dad was a chef, actually, when he was in his 20s. And I was in Homestead, Florida. Basically, he taught me how to make sauce. We would eat fish and tomato sauce with lobster and shrimp, and we made pizzas and stuff like that, and just had a good time cooking together. That really started off, after that, with my mom, probably set the house almost on fire a couple of times when I was a kid. But
and you mentioned your grandmother too, Ron.
Yeah, my grandmother was just a great cook. She was born and raised in Mission, Texas, and she had the whole bacon jar on the stove, and actually I have that at the house. I still have it. I don't use it, but I still have it. she just a wonderful cook, and my grandfather, whatever he brought home, and she'd fry it up. And My grandfather kept a thing of lard and some cornmeal and a cast iron skillet in his truck. I mean, it was one of those deals where it was just, really kind of down-home cooking. So
what kind of formal training did you get, Ron?
Really no formal training. I started in the business when I was 14 and just really loved the business. It's really the only thing I know. I did work with a Danish chef, Tommy Broberg, and he's actually back in Denmark now. He was kind of where it kind of lit up my life as far as cooking and working with him. And I remember when I started with him, I think it was in October, he asked me to actually run his business. And I was kind of young in the business, but I'd had some management background. And he said, "Well, but I don't need you to do anything October, November, December, because I've got that sold. I need you to cook." And I was like, "Well, let's cook," and so that's what I did for those 3 months. Just really breaking down cooking into almost like an outline on how you do things, and really just kind of opened my eyes to what really chefs do. But that was really the only, if there was a formal training, that was it. And other than that, I just was self-taught.
So what restaurants have you worked for that we would recognize?
Well, I worked for the Caraba family on and off since 97. I took a couple years out of that when they owned Pesce. I was the GM there at Pesce. You'll probably know Mark Holly was a chef there.
And the original Carrabba's?
The original Carrabba's, yes, sir. So great family to work for. I mean, just had an amazing career there. When we sold Pesce, I went downtown to the Hotel Icon and worked with, I was the general manager of the restaurant. That was a John George restaurant, which, if you know anything about him, he owns about 8 or 9 restaurants in New York. And went up to New York, worked all of them a day, and just had a fantastic time, and really just saw some outrageous food. It was unbelievable to work for that guy.
So that brings us around to Brandani's Restaurant and Wine Bar. I saw in your bio that you worked with winemakers and vineyard owners. Is that part of the inspiration for making Brandani's a restaurant and a wine bar?
It is. When I was at Carrabba's, the last time I was at Carrabba's, I was the partner there when I left. But I did I cooked all the wine dinners. So when we had wine dinners, I would try to have the winemakers come in instead of just maybe a distributor or something like that. If we could have the winemaker come in, it made it a lot more interesting. And so that's kind of what I kept doing here. So we do a wine dinner once a month, and we've got one coming up on Monday, and I think it's sold out already. But, you know, the deal is, you know, if we can get that experience where you get to meet, you know, a winemaker and really kind of pick their brain on why they made this wine this way, and then I can pair the food up with it, I think it just makes it just a fantastic experience. So
this is Ron Brandani of Brandani's Restaurant and Wine Bar in Missouri City. Cindy and I are not usually appetizer types. Our modus operandi is order the entree and eat it all. But you made sure that we tried squash blossoms, which I think I told you sounded like something Mr. Miyagi would call the Karate Kid. But my wife came away saying that she could have made an entire meal out of squash blossoms and salad. That was delightful. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, it's a product we actually get out of California. I've tried to get some local farmers here, but, you know, as far as the quantity and consistency, I haven't been able to get that. But, you know, I go through about 200 a week. So it's
wow.
And I stuff them with basically like a crab meat stuffing. And, you know, I take a Moretti beer and make a nice batter with that. And it's just a, you know.
It's delightful.
If I don't have them, you know, pitchforks come out. I try to keep them around.
Well, being entree types, we ordered the fried chicken and the pork chop. As a result, pork chop is now my new nickname because I loved it so much. But the fried chicken was so good, we're going to start calling you the Colonel. Is that okay?
That's fine.
But this is, after all, the outdoor cooking show, and I want to make sure we had time for you to explain how you prepare your cold-smoked hamburgers. Now, I've always liked to say my recipe for burgers is salt, pepper, Worcestershire sauce, and throw them on the grill. But that sounds wickedly good, Ron. How do you do that?
Well, you know, I came up with this recipe. It was kind of something, you know, I love to smoke. I love to make a brisket. I love to make ribs, you know, but those take, you know, most of the day, if not all the day. And then kind of you're left with what do you eat while that's going on? And so, you know, think about it. So I came up with this where you can do it the day of, which I normally do, but you can even do it day ahead of time if you like. But while the barbecue's going, I set up kind of an ice tray. I make the burger patties. It's just really just salt and pepper, kind of like I do my brisket. But you put basically an ice tray under it and put the burgers on a rack where you can just remove the whole rack and not, you know, mess with the burgers. And so you smoke the burgers. You can smoke them for about an hour and try to keep them as cool as possible. So ice tray on one side of them, on the bottom of them, you know, again, just keeping them as cold as possible. You may have to change out the ice tray, you know, but what I do is that's it. I smoke them and try to keep them rare to medium rare while I'm smoking them. So
then you throw them on the grill and actually grill them, right?
Yeah. Well, what you need to do is actually, you know, what I do, I've got an outdoor freezer refrigerator, and so I'll put them out and actually put them in the freezer to cool them down, because if you put them on the grill right then,
yeah,
you know, they're so soft they'll kind of break up. So
you
put them in the freezer, refrigerator, cool them all the way down, you know, get the meat back tight again, and then, you know, either fire up that wood grill you have going on, which is the best, or you put them on your gas grill so you don't disturb your fire that you got going on for your brisket or whatever you're doing. So it if you do it right, what happens is you get a pink ring around your hamburger just like you do your brisket.
Uh-huh.
And it's the best tasting burger you ever put in your mouth.
That's amazing. It's a cold smoked hamburger. And the recipe, by the way, is in the July edition of the Fort Bend Focus magazine. I'd be in trouble if I didn't mention your wife, Claire, is also a chef. So Ron Brandani and his wife, Claire, own and operate this fantastic restaurant in Missouri City in the Township. Everybody in Mo City knows where the Township is. It's 3340 FM 1092, or better known as Murphy Road. You're open for lunch and dinner Tuesday through Saturday, but you are closed on Sunday and Monday, right?
Yeah, I'm usually fishing or doing something like that on Sunday, Monday. So,
well, thanks for joining us, Ron, and give all the best to Claire from my wife and me.
I sure will. Thank you, and y'all have a great day.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. The Outdoor Cooking Show will be back with more smoking hot tips for you and your old flame after this short break.
Nothing beats farm fresh produce. Roadside stands are great, but not always well stocked. But Froberg's Farm on Highway 6 in Alvin always has produce fresh from the field. You can't get produce this fresh in stores. Froberg's has a spacious covered market, or you can pick your own produce if you prefer. It's summer, so Froberg's has vine-ripe tomatoes, huge bell peppers, tender young okra, purple hull peas in and out of the shell, and a whole lot more. Fruits, vegetables, jams, jellies, pickles, and a huge selection of dried beans and peas. And Froberg's Farm is famous for its pies, both traditional homemade or fried pies, with over 20 different flavors. Order in advance, and Froberg's can have as many as you need ready for pickup. And be sure you visit Greek Smokehouse right next door while you're there. Froberg's Farm, only 8 miles south of 288 and 2.5 miles from Business 35 on Highway 6 in Alvin. Open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. 7 days a week. Froberg's Farm, farm fresh produce since 1936. Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun. If you're in the energy industry and want to drive down costs, it's time to automate. NuStar Energy Services provides automation solutions for pipelines, independent producers, and any company in the exploration and production sector. Still sending someone out in a pickup to read the flow computer on your well? For about $1 a day, NuStar can collect all that data remotely, so you can monitor everything on a customized web portal. Heck, you can't even buy a gallon of gas for the truck for $1. How about the levels on your tanks at the well site? For about $1 a day, NuStar can set up remote monitoring, so you can see the level in real time and even turn pumps on or off remotely. And remember, NuStar's remote monitoring packages start at about $1 a day. So call NuStar Energy Services today and improve your bottom line. 832-917-1200. That's 832-917-1200 or NuStar-Inc.com. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Huh, like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. The Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Boyd's One Stop at the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's your host, the daddy-o of the patio, Randy Hames.
Our next guest is Chef Eric Laird, who is the executive sous chef at Liberty Kitchen River Oaks. Hi, Eric.
How y'all doing?
We're doing good. Now, tell me, did I say it right, sous chef?
No, I'm actually the executive chef of Liberty Kitchen in San Felipe.
So what's the difference between an executive chef and a sous chef?
Sous chef is kind of it's French for under chef. It would be the assistant or the guy you're training to replace you someday when you move up to a bigger, better job.
I see. Now, see, I've learned something new. Have to learn something new every day. Liberty Kitchen and Oyster Bar is located at 1050 Studewood in Houston Heights. And as I understand it, Eric, you took kind of a circuitous route to the cooking profession. Is that right?
Yeah, I had a different job line. I was working in the operating rooms for about 13 years, and just
you were a surgeon.
To the point where I was a surgical assistant.
Ah, okay, all right. Yeah. I was going to say, if you gave up being a surgeon for being a cook, then you're really dedicated to cooking.
No, that would have been the worst move ever.
So you were a surgical assistant, and how did you get into cooking?
I just really enjoyed doing it ever since I was a little kid. I've always cooked for my family. And then I kind of got out of it for a few years, started watching a couple shows on the Food Network and really got back into cooking, enjoying it so much that it was distracting me from what I was doing and where I wanted to cook every day. And finally I just got to the point where I couldn't take it any longer and decided I wanted to do what I want to do with my life and ran away to be a prep cook.
So that's exactly what you did. Name some of the places you've worked. Eddie V's.
Yeah, I started off at Eddie V's with Bill Greenwood. Then I was there until I became a sous chef. I moved to the tasting room in City Center for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I also worked with Randy Evans over at Haven. Worked with Jonathan Levine at Jonathan's The Rub.
And you've also done a lot of cooking competitions like the Taste of Vail, Aspen Food and Wine Festival, Montrose Beer, and the Gun Club Cook-Offs. All of those credentials sound like you don't cook a whole lot of hamburgers. Would that be right or wrong?
The only place where I didn't cook hamburgers was probably Eddie V's. Every other store we've had a hamburger of some sort on the menu, so I've cooked many thousand hamburgers.
Well, that's what we're talking about today, Eric. So,
excellent.
Eric Laird of Liberty Kitchen River Oaks, give us your favorite recipe for a good old-fashioned hamburger.
I'm pretty, tried and true American. I like the ketchup, mustard, lettuce, tomato, pickles, onions, American cheese, and then just a really good softer bun that kind of lets it all kind of adhere together. That's my favorite burger.
Yeah, but how about the meat? How do you put together the patty?
Well, I was going to say the trick from the meat is if you're going to hand form it, one, don't overpack it, don't smash it down and get a perfect patty. That's not quite the ideal. The ideal is to have a concave, one side needs to be concave, needs to be pressed in a little bit more so you have a bowl.
That makes me feel better because I've always felt really badly that I had a concave burger, and I've always wondered why that. And so I would press it like you just told us not to, and then that squeezes all the juices out and it gets dried.
Right. You don't want to. The more you handle it, the more the fat liquefies, and you get an emulsion, and then you start losing your juice a lot faster. So yeah, handle it as little as possible, and put a divot in the middle. Depending on the size of the burger, anywhere from golf ball, half a golf ball deep and circumference all the way up to baseball.
Wow.
And that way when it draws up and it starts to shrink, you'll get an even top and you won't get the ball-shaped or the football-shaped hamburgers.
This is Eric Laird. He's the executive chef at Liberty Kitchen and Oyster Bar. You grew up an Army brat, so you lived all over the world, right, Eric?
Yeah, I didn't get as much travel as my parents did, but we spent some time over in Europe when my dad was assigned to a couple of units over there. He spent a lot of time in Korea. A lot of my friends have Korean parents or Korean mom and some Panamanians. And yeah, we got to experience a lot of the world as little kids, especially culinary-wise, yeah.
I spent a year in Yongsan. So I know all about Korea. Kimchi, yeah.
Yeah, that's actually one of my surprising cooking challenges. I'm actually pretty decent at Korean food.
Wow, I should come see you then because I miss some of that. Now, I always say steaks and burgers and chicken fried steaks and Mexican food are my favorites. What about you?
Probably a little bit more eclectic, but yeah, I really do enjoy the Korean food at a couple places I run off to. Then, gosh, on a lazy day, Mexican food. Yeah, like on a lazy day, Mexican food. It's, you know, I live pretty close to one of the El Tiempo Sons, and I like to run over there real quick. But yeah, I like the, you know, kind of venturing around in the Chinatown a little bit when I have a chance. But, you know, we work a lot, so I don't have a whole lot of chance.
So let's talk oysters. Now, I love oysters on the half shell. I don't think I've ever met anybody who doesn't like fried oysters. If they don't, they need to move.
Yeah.
But today, you want to talk about your recipe for grilled oysters. Is that right?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think it's one of our most secretive dishes that's out there a little bit. Everybody anywhere from New Orleans or even Biloxi as far east all the way down into, you know, the south of Texas, we all do charbroiled oysters on open burning grills, either wood or gas grills. But yeah, we've all kind of got some similarity of it. Yeah.
So tell us about your recipe.
Yeah. So my favorite way of doing it, like I said, I'm pretty simple. I like to let the food, I like to experience the flavor of the saltier, the water. So you just take any of your Gulf oysters and you shuck them, get them disengaged from the shell, salt, pepper. And I like to make a compound butter of garlic, thyme, and parsley all mixed together. Put a big wad of that on top of it and put it over a really hot fire. And then once the butter starts to melt, some of it will start dripping on the fire, causing a flame up effect. And that'll start to really get your oyster roasting on top and get the edges of it like kind of burning a little bit.
Wow.
And just to finish it up with a quick sprinkle of Parmesan cheese.
Mmm.
And then once that Parmesan cheese totally melted in, you're ready to go on them.
So Eric is at Liberty Kitchen and Oyster Bar, and that's one of your featured menu items. What are some of the other open flame house favorites on your menu there?
We have an Oysters Casino, which is a charbroiled oyster, a little fancier. And then we also have our redfish on the half shell that we are cooking on a grill, as the old Texas tradition. All of our fish can be cooked on the grill for the health conscious out there.
Well, I also noticed on your Facebook page or your website, I can't remember which one now, somebody said that they were crazy about your fried chicken and red velvet waffles. Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, the fried chicken, it's at the Heights store on Wednesdays. It's a 3-day process. One day it's a salt and honey and lemon brine. The next day it's a buttermilk and pepper marinade. And then the third day it's fried. And yeah, it's very good. It took me a while to work out the kinks on the equipment up there, but now it's pretty nailed in, and it's definitely one of the best dishes around at that store. We sell a lot of it. But get there early. That's the thing, is we will sell out.
Eric, tell me, you just said that it's a 3-day process to fry chicken?
Yeah, it's, you know, we can't ever just leave it too simple. The chef's got to kind of mingle and dingle. So, yeah, the brine, you know, brining a whole chicken or those pieces can take about 24 hours to really get your penetration. And then the buttermilk starts to break down, making the meat a little bit more tender. And then, yeah, so it's a 3-day process.
My goodness gracious. I'm not sure I am that patient.
Yeah, right? Me neither at home.
This is Eric Laird. He is the executive chef, not the sous chef. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right.
At the Liberty Kitchen and Oyster Bar at 1050 Studewood in the Houston Heights. What are your operating hours, Eric?
We are open Monday through Friday from 11 to 10. And Friday, Saturday from 11 to 11. And then on Saturdays it's from 8 in the morning to 11.
Ah.
And Sundays from 8 to 9.
So we'll talk breakfast next time, okay?
Yep. And then, catch me there, or you can catch me down at the San Felipe store. That's 4224 San Felipe.
Eric Laird of Liberty Kitchen and Oyster Bar. Hope you'll be a frequent guest with us here on the Outdoor Cooking Show, Eric.
Yeah, give me a call anytime.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be back with more food and fun after this break.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. If you're in the energy industry and want to drive down costs, it's time to automate. NuStar Energy Services provides automation solutions for pipelines, independent producers, and any company in the exploration and production sector. Still sending someone out in a pickup to read the flow computer on your well? For about $1 a day, NuStar can collect all that data remotely, so you can monitor everything on a customized web portal. Heck, you can't even buy a gallon of gas for the truck for $1. How about the levels on your tanks at the well site? For about $1 a day, NuStar can set up remote monitoring, so you can see the level in real time and even turn pumps on or off remotely. And remember, NuStar's remote monitoring packages start at about $1 a day. So call NuStar Energy Services today and improve your bottom line. 832-917-1200. That's 832-917-1200 or newstar-inc.com. Does the cell phone connectivity in your office stink? Do you routinely miss calls? Lots of buildings have dead zones, and that means garbled or dropped calls. But not anymore. Texas Cell Phone Boosters provides FCC-approved cell phone booster systems that can make dead zones a thing of the past. These are not rinky-dink systems from big-box stores. These are commercial-grade booster systems that cover tens of thousands of square feet. And Texas Cell Phone Boosters will specifically engineer and install a system in your office or warehouse. If you drive or regularly work in remote locations, Texas Cell Phone Boosters can help you boost a weak signal from a tower a long way off. So don't miss calls from potential customers any longer. Call the pros at Texas Cell Phone Boosters, 832-551-1000. That's 832-551-1000. Or go to texascellphoneboosters.com. If you love the taste of homemade sausage, Greek Smokehouse at Froberg's Farm in Alvin is an old-fashioned smokehouse with good old country service. Greek Smokehouse makes 10 different flavors of homemade sausage and smokes them for hours over burning pecan wood. No artificial smoke flavor at Greek's. You'll know that as soon as you walk in the door. Try the house favorite, jalapeno cheese, deer, and pork sausage, or Greek savory boudin, Italian, or summer sausage. The freezer is full of hand-cut ribeye and strip steaks, stuffed pork chops and chicken breasts, stuffed bell peppers, and even peppers stuffed with boudin. And Greek stocks seasoning meats to add to your next batch of greens or beans. Nothing's better together than homemade sausage from Greek Smokehouse and fresh veggies from Froberg's Farm right next door. Only 8 miles south of 288 and 2.5 miles from Business 35 on Highway 6 in Alvin. Open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. 7 days a week. Greek Smokehouse. Those boys know how to do it.
May the forks be with you. The Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Froberg's Farm and Greek Smokehouse on Highway 6 in Alvin. Now, here's the man who turns all the grills on, Randy Haynes.
It's time once again to talk to my old radio pal, Fred Olson. How you doing, partner?
I don't know how old I am, really. I mean, I'm feeling pretty young. I'm feeling 28.
So you're feeling good.
to
answer
good.
The question.
Well, actually, yeah, and I'm prepping ribs for this weekend. I'm getting them thawed out, some St. Louis-style ribs. I'm going to doctor them up and let them sit in the fridge for at least 36 hours before I get ready to cook them.
Don't forget to strip off that membrane.
Always. Yep. Yeah, absolutely, buddy. I don't need to chew on that. I want meat.
How's Bev doing?
She's doing great, man. We just had the grandkids for like a week, so we're ready to cut loose.
You're ready to take a nap.
No, I was armadillo hunting last night.
And, oh, were you? How many did you bag?
I got one. Got one right off the front porch, so I didn't really have to go far.
So in other words, you were looking for a particular armadillo.
Yeah, the one who's trashing my yard.
But you bagged your limit.
He's the former yard pressure. He has assumed room temperature. He's gone.
Well, good for him. That's that's basically what they're good for.
Hey, let's talk about good meat.
Okay.
What are you cooking?
I thought we'd talk hamburgers today. Earlier in the show, I spoke to my new best friend, Ron Brandani. He owns and operates a restaurant right down the street from our house, and he gave us his recipe for what he calls some cold-smoked burgers. Have you ever heard of that before?
No, but it sounds good. I mean, does he prep the meat that way, or does he just slow?
Yeah.
Well, explain it. I want to hear this.
It's to make it as basic as possible, because the audience has already heard all of this.
Okay.
He basically puts the patties in the freezer and gets them as cold as he can without freezing them, and then he puts them on a pan and offsets them with another pan of ice underneath them, and then and then smokes them. He puts them off the fire, but then he puts wood chips in there to create a lot of smoke, and for like an hour he cold smokes the patties, and he keeps adding ice cubes to make sure that they stay cold. Then he puts them back in the freezer, gets them as cold as possible, and then he throws them on a hot fire and cooks them.
Oh, that sounds good, man. That sounds great.
Now, how do you cook your burgers?
Well, first of all, a couple of things I've learned, especially from my wife, don't squeeze the life out of them once they're on the grill. A lot of people, I got a buddy who just smashes them until all the juice is gone, and then it tastes like a juiceless hamburger. So,
yeah.
One of the keys is, you know, when a burger kind of puffs up, if you make it kind of thick, here's what you do. You put a thumbprint about halfway down, you know, in the middle of it. You push about halfway down into the burger and then put it on the grill. It'll keep it from puffing up.
Ah.
Yeah, it keeps, you know, and forming kind of a little meteorite on your grill. And it makes a better burger.
Well, I noticed that mine kind of curl on one side. They're perfect on one side, and then they curl on the other side, so they don't get that same grilled look on the side that's curled up.
Maybe that'll straighten that
out.
And, you know, don't make them so thick, and then don't, you know, squeeze all the juice out of them.
Well, you know me, Fred. I'm pretty dogmatic about making burgers as simple as possible. I go to the store and I find the pre-packaged ground sirloin patties, and they're very tasty and all. But I decided that I needed to try something new.
Okay. Now, do you go into the store and ask for the dogmatic section?
No, they just automatically direct me there. If I don't show up at the store about once every 2 or 3 days, they put out a bolo on me.
Well, here's what you do. When a lot of people, again, when they make a hamburger patty, they squeeze it so much almost, and don't leave it kind of chunky or a little more coarse. And you're not creating a Swedish meatball. You're creating a burger patty. So don't over-process it with too much squeezing it and making it into kind of a meatloaf thing. Kind of leave it kind of loose and let it get natural on a grill. So that's just a thought, too.
Don't hug it to death.
That's it. Don't love it too much.
Yeah. You hug all the love out of it.
Hey, listen, I sound like I know what I'm talking about. I get all of this from my wife.
Of course. Yeah, don't we
yes.
all?
Yeah.
Well, so I decided I was going to try something new. So
okay.
here's what I'm playing with now. You start with a pound of chopped sirloin, or you can do ground beef. I realize some people are more dedicated to ground beef. But what you do is you start with a pound of chopped sirloin or ground beef, and you whisk an egg in a bowl, and then you add any combination of ingredients that really appeal to you. I like to use a teaspoon of regular mustard, not Dijon mustard. French is too frou-frou for burgers. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
French don't understand burgers. They're not Americans, after all.
Right.
So then I use 1 teaspoon of Worcestershire sauce.
Yeah, good, good.
That word is spelled wrong, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Worcestershire. Yeah,
right, exactly. I use 1 clove of minced garlic. And then I use 1/2 teaspoon of salt and 1/2 teaspoon of pepper.
Is that for one burger?
No. This will be for the whole pound.
Oh, okay. I was going to say 1 clove of garlic. Now you got to have. Woo! You won't be able to breathe on your wife.
Yeah.
You got to make sure everybody in the house eats that. Otherwise, you won't be able to talk to them.
So I put that in a bowl and then I whisk it all together. Right. So I've heard of people using lots of other ingredients, finely grated onions. I don't want to do that. I don't want onions in the burger. And I've heard of people using like a tablespoon of maybe creamy Caesar salad dressing or Greek salad dressing and mixing that into, or finely chopped sun-dried tomatoes, maybe some sour.
Well, how about a little curry? You like a little curry powder?
Yes, curry. Cool. Okay. Or parsley, sage, and rosemary and thyme. I think I dated all of them in college or high school.
I think you married one of them.
Yeah, yeah, that was the first time. That's okay. That's another story. This is only a 10-minute segment.
All right, let's get back to your burger.
Yes, sour cream, barbecue sauce, ginger root. Really? Ginger root. Really? I don't know. Lemon pepper, even Cajun seasoning, teriyaki sauce, pickled jalapenos, of course.
Now, that's a lot of stuff. You're going to put some meat in there, too, I hope.
No, I'm not putting that in there. That's what I've seen other people do.
Oh, okay.
I'm sticking with the mustard, the Worcestershire sauce, the minced garlic, the salt, and the pepper. That's pretty – I keep it simple.
Okay, there you go.
So now you crumble the sirloin or the ground beef, whichever you prefer, and you handle the meat as little as possible, as you were saying a moment ago. Don't pound it into submission. The more you work it, the tougher it gets. Gently, lovingly shape. Don't firmly press into patties about 3/4 inch thick. Is that too thick for you?
No.
I like them. I like them nice and thick and hearty. And then somebody mentioned to me the same technique that you mentioned just a moment ago, and that is to use the thumb to make a small depression in the center of each patty to keep it from puffing up and curling up. And then you grill them about 6 to 8 minutes per side. Is that what you do?
About that, yeah, yes. I like to make sure they're just done.
Yeah.
My wife likes them a little more rare. Yeah. I don't like my burger too rare. But.
Well, resist the urge to turn them back and forth. I can remember my mother scolding my dad about turning the meat more than once.
It's hard to leave it alone.
Yeah, I know. You want to play with
it's
it,
the
right?
guy thing. You
yeah,
know, I
it
want
is.
To justify
yeah.
the fact that I'm burning something
yeah.
and flipping it and really being good at it. So, yeah, I tend to overdo that a little bit.
And then a meat thermometer will help you out, make sure it's no longer pink. 160 degrees being the optimal temperature in the middle.
So what do they taste like?
What?
So after all this process, what do they taste like?
Oh, I haven't actually tried it yet. In fact, I kept saying you because I was hoping you would do it and invite us over for dinner. I don't go to that much trouble. I just put a little salt and pepper and Worcestershire sauce and throw them on the grill. So when do we eat, Fred?
Get someone else to burn the meat.
I'm trying.
You know, it sounds good. I'm going to give it a whirl.
Well, if you need a break from the grandkids, this is a recipe that's just complicated enough to keep you in the kitchen for about an hour and a half, and give you a break from Barney reruns.
Gosh. Ready, Jet, Go is the new one. Ready, Jet, Go.
And if I'm in charge of that complicated recipe, then the buns, the condiments, and the sides are somebody else's project.
Absolutely.
So when it comes to something as basic as burgers, the important thing to remember from Fred and Randy is you're the one who's eating them, so make them the way you want to eat them.
There you go.
I love you, pal.
Love you too, man. Have a great day, and we'll do chicken leg quarters next week.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on The Outdoor Cooking Show.
How's about cooking something up?